Okay. I see the timer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We're going to take a deep dive once again into the spiritual meaning of words. You know, I'm going to talk to you about this next week, but there's a theme that is running through this month. And I'd like you to think about what it might be, to reflect upon the things that you've heard. If you have a Coptic calendar, well, all of you have cell phones, so you can access it. And go back and look at the Gospels and see what you would imagine a common theme is, because when the fathers of the church assembled these readings, they did it so that the focus of the congregation would be on different subject matter. You know, one of the things that I notice amongst people who say that the services are too long or the services are boring, is that there's not a high degree of participation in them. You should have a book in your hands at all times if you have not memorized the texts, either the Agabea or the Holegi. You should have it at all times. You cannot be distracted if you are reading at the same time that the priest is praying or that the deacons are praying. It's not possible. But if your mind is wandering because you're not with the congregation, you're in the congregation, but you are not with the congregation, then you've missed the whole point of coming to the service of God in His holy church. So there is a man who was brought to Him. He's an indescript man. We don't know anything about him. We don't know who his parents are. We don't even know what his name is. But the first thing that we learn about him is that he's demon-possessed. You know, demons are real. They're the angels that were rebellious. And whatever else it is that you have heard about demons, and if you want a primer, if you want a first book to tell you about the nature of the demonic, you should read C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape. Screwtape, and he's talking to his nephew, Wormwood. Now, I'm going to tell you about people that go to hell, because maybe you're sitting next to one. People who go to hell are those people that are so egocentric that everything that happens in the world, they judge in reference to themselves, as though they were the center of the universe. Every single thing that happens is happening to them, to their world. It depends how extensive their world is. Even Adolf Hitler had friends. So, again, you can be sitting next to a devil and they don't appear any different than you. We don't know about the interior. We can look at the exterior, but because we look at the exterior, it doesn't mean that the interior necessarily follows. All right. Devils hate each other. Imagine you had a bunch of starlets, and these starlets are actresses. They wanted to be in a movie. There was room for a couple of them, and the rest were not going to be hired. Even the part called for them to disrobe. Do you know what a prostitute is? I think I've said this to you before. A prostitute is someone who sells their virtue. Some people that have a great art, and they turn to secular art, they say about him that he has prostituted his art. This is what they said about the martial artist, Bruce Lee. You've taken the art which belongs to a family, and you've exposed it to the world. And then worse than that, you polluted it. Because you took from this, and you took from that, and you took from this other thing, and you made up your own name for it. It's prostitution. It's impurity. So people that are impure, they hate one another. Oh, look at her. Look at what she's wearing. Why is she wearing the thing that she's wearing? Who does she think she is? Oh, look at her hair. All right? Women are the worst at criticizing women. Men don't criticize women nearly as much as women criticize women. And why is that? Because the part of you that is carnal is competing with the carnality of another person. And one who becomes a demon is entirely carnal. So here's this man, and he's demon-possessed. He's blind, and he can't speak. This represents mankind. Mankind could not see who his Savior was. Mankind could not tell who Jesus Christ was. Mankind was oblivious to the great gift of the incarnation. Couldn't see. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Who can see? Who can hear? Well, this man, he couldn't see. But suppose he could see. Would that be enough? All of you see. You know who Jesus Christ is. You're here in his house. So you have to be able to see. But the next question is, are you mute? Are you silent? Or are you doing as in the commission in the last chapter of Matthew, where it says, go ye unto all nations, and you convert people. You tell them about the joy that is in you. You tell them the reasonableness of why you have this faith. And then you introduce them to the Lord in an intimate way through holy baptism. You go unto all nations, and you take this with you, and you baptize. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, of course. Now the Lord healed him, so that he saw and he spake. And the multitudes, it says, were amazed. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of a great concert artist? Maybe you've heard somebody that you've really admired. Maybe you only know this name because this name is so unique. Yo-Yo Ma. Right? Sounds like something that a Mexican would say, doesn't it? Not an Oriental. Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Ma, he's a cellist. Now, if he played an incredible piece on his cello, would you be amazed? No. It would be expected. If you heard Luciano Pavarotti, the great tenor, now passed, if you went to a concert to hear him, and he hit a high C, which is very difficult for a tenor, would you be amazed? No. At one time in his life, he was described as the captain of the high seas. He can hit a high C. It's within his ability. If he makes something sound beautiful, are you amazed? No, you went there expecting to hear that. But if a child sings like Pavarotti, everyone is amazed. If someone plays the cello like Yo-Yo Ma, everyone is amazed. So they looked at Jesus Christ as what then? A child? A regular person? Why would they be amazed? If God is in their presence and God is doing this thing, that's as regular as me putting salt on French fries. If you don't expect that, then you've never seen me eat French fries. So think about how they're viewing this. They're not looking at this thinking that Emmanuel, God is with us. No. Who's this rabbi and how is your... Well, hey, we know. If he were godly, he would be like us. So he must be some other type. What is he? What is his type? He must be like the devil. But you see, as I told you before, laying the groundwork for what I'm going to say next, devils hate each other. Devils hate each other. They hate each other with the same hatred that they hate the place that they are in. They're all together. And no one likes anyone. There's no humanity there. There's just evil. And so, when they say that the devil is casting out the devil, first of all, they don't know what the demon is like. And number two, if the demon divides his own house with insurrection, how will that stand? You know, the most horrible war of all is the civil war, because it is literally brother against brother, family against family. More Americans died in the Civil War than in all the rest of the wars put together. The Civil War is the worst. And Abraham Lincoln recalled, he said, how can any nation stand if it is divided against itself? How can that nation stand? He's asking the question to tempt everyone's conscience. What are you competing with? You're competing with your brother. You're competing with your father, with your uncle, with your cousin. Who are you competing with? Take hold of yourself. And what are you competing for? A piece of ground? Your brother is not worth more to you than a piece of soil? And then Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan, right, his kingdom will fall. And by the way, if I am casting out by the agency of a more powerful devil, a lesser devil, because now that is one thing that you have in demonology. You've got a boss. You know what his name is. It's Lucifer. Lucifer is the boss. And then he has near relatives. Those nearest to him, which he hates, and they hate him, but they are afraid of him. And fear is the motive. You know, when all this hashtag business, Me Too business came out about all these poor women, oh, it was such a tragedy to find out that men were able to dangle some piece of the world in front of their eyes, and then what? These women would lay down. Now, you want to rule? Have you not ever heard of the casting couch? You want this part? Here's the couch. You want to do that? All of these things are implied with the one, oh, I was just a victim. I'm such a victim. Yes. Indeed, you are a victim, and you are a victim of someone powerful. Yes, this is true, but it is not that man that's standing in front of you. It's the devil that you don't recognize that is standing inside him, and he is tempting you. Remember, we're in this mess because the woman left the side of her husband and went into the garden alone, and she was tempted of the serpent, and she yielded to the serpent. The women did this. You can't read the Bible and not know that. And you can't hate me for saying it. You can wish I didn't say it, but until you accept that it is true, you don't have a way of guarding yourself from the same exact temptation. Look, one of the things that's bad in any church community is this. Somebody in the church makes a big, terrible mistake. They have a child out of wedlock. They have a drug problem. They have gone to jail. They have acted on homosexual kinds of things. Okay, so we liken it to somebody who walks outside the church and there's a hole in the ground and they fall into it. So what do? The whole family works together to hush it up. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that you fell in the hole. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell them where the hole is. Don't tell them how deep the hole is. Don't tell them how hard it was for you to get out of the hole once you fell into the hole. Don't tell them how much it hurt when you fell into the hole. Don't say a word about it. Right? So the next Coptic Orthodox falls into the same hole. Now, if people had been alerted, there's a hole out there, be careful, then perhaps it would not have happened. It's not a guarantee, certainly. But perhaps if people would simply be honest, I fell into a hole. I made a mistake. I separated myself from God. It was a stupid thing that I did, but I realize it now, and I'm sorry, and I want reconciliation. I want to be repaired. I want to be made whole. I want to come to the Lord's table again and sup from it in purity and in wholesomeness. Come. There's forgiveness for everyone and for everything. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. The abundance of God's love is unbelievable. But if everybody keeps silent, oh yeah, keep it really silent. Tell stories about, oh, it wasn't really a hole. No. No. It wasn't really a hole I fell into. I dreamt I fell into a hole. No, it was a, you know, that's what it was. Save the family's dignity. God forbid you would not want to do anything but lie. No, you don't do that. You say, what is what? This is going on in my family, and this is no good. And I'm telling you this, and I'm warning you about this, so that you may not have happened to you what happened to me. There is not one person that doesn't sin. There is not one person that does not have need of God's salvation. Not one. The best person that ever lived needed God's salvation, needed the sacrifice of his body on the cross. Not one escapes that definition. So therefore, what are we talking about? There were two debtors. One owed 50 denarii and one owed 500 denarii. Well, you're the one who owes 500 denarii. So what? I owe 50? How can you owe 50? You're so rich. You have all this stuff. I still owe. I am still in debt. So, Jesus pointed out to them this very salient fact. He said, if I'm casting out devils by the prince of devils, and we know that if this happens, Satan cannot stand, how are your children casting out devils? Now, who were the children of the Jews that they were talking to? Jesus' disciples, the 12, or the 11 and a half. I don't know if Judas ever actually cast out anything except money from the change purse that he kept, and he cast that out into his own lusts and desires. But think about it. What kind of logic is this? They didn't recognize who Jesus was because they couldn't see. And when he tried to open their eyes, they refused to see. Now, for all of you, you know who Jesus is. You know what we are doing here, today, now. We are convening to give glory and worship to his holy name for all the things that he has done for us. And we are coming to a peak realization that his body and his blood will be on offer to anyone who is worthy. And by worthy, I mean no one is ever worthy, but who is perhaps, using a better word, who is prepared to receive the body and the blood of the Lord. It's a peak experience, and it carries us. It carries us to the next time we have an encounter with the Lord. So think about these things. As I said, it's not just the case of a man that was brought. He had some affliction. The Lord cast out a devil and healed him of his malady. No, it's not that. It's about recognizing your Savior. If he is your Savior as you go forth in this world, how can anything of the earth compete with him? How can anything compete? Your eyes may be distracted. Your ears may become distracted. You may listen to things, and it's like Ulysses wanted to hear the sound of the song of the sirens. So he asked his crewmen to lash him to the mast, to the big pole, the mast that holds the sail. Tie him to it. And the rest of the sailors, he said, you have to take wax and put them in your ears. Because see, what happened was, this was an island of sirens. And a siren doesn't mean like, in Europe. It doesn't mean a warning. It means a call from a woman whose voice was so seductive that it led men who were in ships that were passing by the island who heard this sound to sail towards the island. And when they did so, their ships were broken up on jagged rocks just beneath the waters. And everyone perished. Ulysses knew about this. Ulysses knew, but he wanted to hear. So he had the men tie him to the mast, not to plug his ears. They plugged their ears. Keep on our course. This is where we're going. Don't deviate from this, but I want to hear. He tortured himself with this. You know, some priests, sometimes they're a little bit overly interested in the demonic. It's not a good thing for any human being. But what I'm saying is, if you know Jesus Christ, if he is the one that you love, if you're not just paying lip service, if you're just not being a complete fraud, and you love Jesus, then what competes with him? You know? A new LaFerrari? Talk about lust of the eyes. You women don't know what this is. I know you don't know. Half of the men don't either. It's not an Enzo. That's a LaFerrari. You know, if one comes up for sale, they're about $4 million apiece. It's just a car. How could somebody lust after a car? Well, if you have some time later on, I'll tell you how somebody can lust after a car. But it's wrong. It's so wrong. And when I catch myself, I say, love not the world, neither the things pertaining to the world, for the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God remaineth forever. And I want to live. I want to live with my Creator, the one who made me for more than just this temporal, earthly experience. And I want that for all of you. I want it for all of you. So think. If you know the Lord, you can't be silent. You must speak. If you can see, you must speak. There are people who can serve the Lord without loving him, but there is nobody who can love the Lord and not serve him. You see, there's a lot of people that want to have the prestige. You know, I look good. I look good in these clothes, don't I? Say yes. Because I don't have a whole lot of other clothes. I got a black robe on under this. But I make this look good, as Will Smith said. And Men in Black. I make this look good. And I do. And it makes me look good. But that's not the reason to put it on. That's not the reason to put it on. That's the worst thing in the world. I'm a complete fraud. I am worthless. I am worse than worthless. Because it's like when you see in the midst of a desert and you are dying from thirst and you see an oasis and you march even faster to it, and the closer you get, it stays the same distance away from you because it's a mirage. It's not real. It's a mirage. You go to it and it's not there. And so you exhaust yourself in the pursuit. May that not happen to any of us. We love the Lord. Let us speak to everyone that we see, any opportunity we have, about our love for the Lord. You know, we have a lot of cute kids in this church. There's a whole bunch of them. We don't have one ugly kid. We have some weird kids, but not ugly kids. Kids are beautiful. And it makes you want to pick them up and hold them. And sometimes, you know, when I'm with other priests and other churches doing other things, I talk about the kids in the church. And if they start bragging about a kid in their church, well, then I just up the ante. Oh, yeah, you got one of those? Well, I'll raise you a justice, and I'll see you, you know, a Noah. Yeah. But it's not just for that we do it. It's because we have love. And if we have love, I want to share the love. I don't want to keep justice or Noah for myself. I want all to experience justice and Noah. And all the other little kids, Gabriella, and I don't want to say go down the list because I might forget one, and then the mother will come up to me later on and say, "Didn't you think my kid was pretty?" Oh, we have many beautiful kids. So, the most beautiful thing we possess is our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go forth and share that with everybody because He is beautiful and He is loving and He is kind and He is merciful. And most of all, when you see Him, His favorite position is like this, and He's ready for an embrace. He wants to take hold of everyone. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.